plain crouton.
It's word salad with Amelia Discreet, only on 95BFM.
Morena Amelia.
Hello.
She returns.
Better than ever.
I mean, I feel like I have been hit by a truck a little bit.
Thanks to COVID.
Thanks to
the famous virus.
Thanks, government. But you know what?
What?
We keep living or we die.
That is true. It is very true. And you're back with that cheerful adage and phrenology this morning. So you're really swinging into a particular gear.
Yeah, well, when you said that I have a spicy take on phrenology, I do not believe that I do. Okay. I don't think phrenology is good.
Okay,
I think
good.
it is, in fact, bad.
Very bad. But as I said that, I kind of thought it was funny. And then I thought, oh, yeah, maybe everyone's going to think Amelia's actually into phrenology.
Very, just hugely pro-phrenology. Well, I mean, I could talk about people's, you know, tendencies towards scientism or like the enduring legacy of Platonism for a very long time, or talk about how ideas of phrenology are still present in scientific racism and incel culture and, you know, so-called gender critical anti-trans ideology. All talk about skull shapes and things extensively, but we're not going to talk about that.
Let's start with, I'd first like to say this is not the first time in conversation with you this week that the concept of like the endurance of Plato's theories has come up. This is just what it's like to chat with you. But we need to start at the basics in case someone's going, what the hell is phrenology?
Okay, so basically in the 19th century, people got very interested in brains, and some dudes, various people, I guess the original guy that most people point to is called Gall, G-A-L-L. They came up with this thing that they called phrenology, or like mental science.
Okay.
Like mind studies.
Mind trench.
the mind trench.
Where they basically thought that, you know, if the mind is related to the brain.
Yeah.
And the brain is related to the head.
Yeah.
Then there must be ways that you can interpret physical features of the head that will tell you things about the mind.
Right. I can see how in the oldie days that's a, you know, a link that would make sense. But
I mean, you say that it feels like kind of a 1640s thing more than an 1840s thing.
Yeah.
But real, but they're like,
it feels medieval.
But they basically very, very quickly were like, wow, I can use this to do big racism. And it got really popular and kind of infected the popular consciousness with these ideas about criminal brow ridges and things.
I feel like I have watched a lot of daytime television shows set in that period as a teenager, and it's always the poshos. They're always obsessed with it. There's like a fancy dinner party happening in some Downton Abbey type lounge space, and they're all talking about criminal brows. And the TV show is always a bit like, aren't these people stupid? But the people in the show are really into it.
I mean, yes. The reason that we're talking about it is not to poo-poo people from 200 years ago, as much as they are little so-and-sos. I was about to swear on the air, can't do that. But to talk about words and phrases that come from phrenology,
okay,
or allegedly come from phrenology.
All right.
So getting your head checked.
Oh.
This is allegedly the origin of this. The one that is definitely 100% phrenology is, and you're going to like this, you little art so-and-so.
Oh, dear.
Highbrow.
Ah.
Highbrow. Because
my word.
Your brow ridge was essentially, the idea was that it was in some way related to your intelligence. So if you were highbrow, you literally had, your face was shaped in such a way that it let you understand art.
Oh dear.
Well,
I'm trying to,
it's eyebrow raising, to say the least.
Eyebrow raising. Oh dear. Well, I mean, that kind of, yeah, I can see that, why they would have. I don't actually. I'm trying to be generous to ye olde folks, but
also
no.
I think the core of it is, it's not just, you know, racist and all these other things. It's also classist in a very fundamental way. There's this idea that there's this difference in physiognomy between bad, poor people who like lowbrow art, like, like South Park. I was like, what was the last thing I heard described as lowbrow? And poshos who like highbrow art, like, you know, Rimsky-Korsakov or whatever.
I love the idea that so you can see over the painting or something.
But,
it's big, this Rothko.
It's
gotta have a highbrow.
It's bad. And I think as much as talking about things being highbrow or lowbrow and, you know, more recently, in the last 50 years or so, middlebrow... is just bad on the face of it, because it's like a class-based understanding of aesthetic pleasure.
Yes.
It also is related to head measuring.
It's so cancelled on so many levels.
Yeah.
Let's throw that phrase out. We don't need that one.
So ones that I've seen attributed, and I don't mean like, oh, I saw someone on the bus do it. There was an Atlantic article that was like, did you know that phrenology is really the source for these phrases? And it claimed well-rounded and shrink, as in head shrinker, as in a psychologist. Well-rounded is definitely not true.
I was going to say, I feel like that one's... means not the same thing.
So well-rounded originally was exclusively used to refer to sentences. So you would describe something being a well-rounded period in somebody's writing. And that would be their sentence was well-formed or like constructed. And rounded just meaning like shaped or formed. So a well-rounded sentence would just be like a nicely constructed sentence.
I got you.
And it kind of became extrapolated from there to talk about well-rounded other things.
She can do a sport and an art.
Yes. So
very well-rounded student.
So well-rounded predates phrenology.
Okay.
And
right.
So the idea that it comes from phrenology.
Having a nice round head.
They should have Googled that, journalist at The Atlantic. Shrink is a little bit more
gray
difficult.
Area? Okay.
Yeah. So shrink seems to have been a kind of an American kind of like a slightly Hollywood California type.
You gotta
slang.
Go see her shrink.
Because the earliest, as far as we can tell, the earliest reference of shrink being a psychologist is in Thomas Pynchon's The Crying of Lot 49.
Very LA.
Good book. changed my life. Made me the loser I am today. And it's unclear the origin of it. And so people have a tendency to want the origins of words like that to be a bit grubby.
Right.
Because people love to be able to point to someone and say, oh, did you know that the origin of that is actually...
bad.
Horrid. Like, it's actually horrific. And to be fair, as we've seen with highbrow, some things definitely are.
Yes.
And there are definitely phrases that people say that were originally like racial slurs and things.
Let's just cut that one out. We don't need that anymore.
And so with shrink, there are some different schools of thought. Some people want to say, oh, it's a phrenology thing because... Mm-hmm. A smaller skull is that one's very confused. They didn't really, I don't think they thought it through. You want to shrink your criminal protrusion or something. Other people want to say that it is related to various indigenous head preservation practices. So like to do with shrunken heads, which...
Is this still a stretch to get from there to therapy somehow?
Yes, well, there's not... Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a clear causal link.
Right, I see.
Apart from that, it came about during a time when, you know, lots of people were racist, but you could say that about any word.
Yeah.
I mean, my preferred theory is that it comes from big-headedness.
Okay.
Because usually when people are saying you need to see a shrink, it's because of some kind of inflated sense of self, some kind of like delusional grandeur.
Uh-huh.
You need to go to a shrink, and being big-headed is like a very common and like, widely used phrase.
It is.
So,
which comes from phrenology?
No.
You're just being big-headed.
You just...
Yeah, okay.
Your head's big. Your idea of yourself is big.
Okay, we can keep using that one. That's good.
And so that seems like the most likely route for me, but I don't think, unless someone wants to track down Thomas Pynchon, famously difficult, and ask him what he was talking about.
Thomas, tell us. The people need to know.
Tommy, let me know.
Change my life.
but yeah, that's phrenology. It's
bad. Yeah, but interesting.
We should talk about the masked man fallacy sometime, but
that
not today.
Fun next week maybe. Thank you very much.
It's not related to words. It's just a philosophy thing, but you know.
Thank you, Amelia. What have you brought us for a tune this morning?
My Empty Head by the Flatmates.
Excellent. You're on BFM Breakfast. This is the Flatmates. Shreds, shreds, shreds. With my empty head. Thank you, Amelia Discreet.
Vinaigrette originally referred to small vinegar.
Word salad with Amelia Discreet on 95 BFM.